Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is March 7th, year 2010. It's the third Sunday in Lent. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen.
We're going to be reading from Pope St. Leo the Great's Sermon 46 on Lent. Pope St. Leo the Great, pray for us. Lent must be kept not only by avoiding bodily impurity, but also by avoiding errors of thought and faith. Because the right practice of abstinence is needful not only to the mortification of the flesh, but also to the purification of the mind. For he whose heart is not polluted with misbelief prepares himself with true and reasonable purification for the Paschal Feast, in which all the mysteries of our religion meet together. For as the Apostle says, that all that is not of the faith is sin. The fasting of those will be unprofitable and vain, whom the father of lying deceives with his delusions, and who are not fed by Christ's true flesh. He's saying if you're not Catholic, you're not in the church, your fasts are all worthless. Or you're a heretic, that means you're not in the church, apostate, schismatic. As then we must with the whole heart obey the divine commands and sound doctrine, so we must use all foresight in abstaining from wicked imaginations. For the mind then only keeps holy the spiritual fast when it rejects the food of heresy and the poison of falsehood, which our crafty and wily foe piles us with more treacherously now, when by the very return of the venerable festival, the whole church generally is admonished to understand the mysteries of its salvation, our dogmas. He's telling you, if you don't have those, everything else you do is worthless. Faith comes before everything. That's what he's saying. For he is the true confessor and worshiper of Christ's resurrection, who is not confused about his passion, nor deceived about his bodily nativity. For some are so ashamed of the gospel of the cross of Christ, as to impudently nullify the punishment which he underwent for the world's redemption, making him an angel but not human, you see. He denies humanity or his divinity, and have denied the very nature of true flesh in the Lord, not understanding how the unchangeable deity of God's word could have so far condescended for man's salvation. How could he have done such a lowly thing to become a human? Why? He did. Because he loves us. And he's all-powerful. Question we always ask people, and they can't understand how God could become man. Do you believe God's all-powerful and all-knowing? Do you believe that if God wanted to become a man, he can become a man? Well, then shut up. And he did. First of all, he was going to do it anyway, even if we didn't sin, to share in our humanity. And it shows you how much he loves his creatures, too, anyway. But you had people denying that. That's what he's saying here, denying that Christ really became man. He was just God, but not man, you see. It was like his human flesh, they were teaching, was an illusion. Like when Raphael took on human flesh. That's what they were saying. Christ really did take on human flesh. That's what Pope St. Leo the Great is saying here. And as by his power not to lose his own properties, and in his own mercy to take on him ours. They couldn't understand how he could become man. They thought he would lose his divinity or something. They were the ones that were confused. Because of their own wickedness and lack of faith. And so in Christ there is a twofold form, but one person. The Son of God, who is at the same time the Son of Man, is one Lord, accepting the condition of a slave by the design of loving kindness, not by the law of necessity, because by his power he became humble, by his power passible, by his power mortal, that for the destruction of the tyranny of sin and death, the weak nature in him might be capable of punishment, and the strong nature not lose aught of its glory. All the actions of Christ reveal the presence of the twofold nature. And so, dearly beloved, when in reading or hearing the gospel, you find certain things in our Lord Jesus Christ subjected to injuries, and certain things illumined by miracles, in such a way that in the same person, now the humanity appears, and now the divinity shines out. Do not put down any of these things to a delusion, as if in Christ there is either manhood alone or godhood alone. But believe both faithfully, worship both right humbly, so that in the union of the word and the flesh there may be no separation, and the bodily proofs may not seem delusive, because the divine signs were evident in Jesus. The attestations of both natures in him are true and abundant, and by the depth of the divine purpose all concur to this end, that the inviolable word, not being separated from the passible flesh, the Godhead may be understood as in all things partaker with the flesh and the flesh with the Godhead. And therefore must the Christian mind, that would eschew lies and be the disciple of truth, use the gospel story confidently and as if still in company with the apostles themselves, distinguish what is visibly done by the Lord, now by the spiritual understanding, now by the bodily organs of sight. A sign to the man that he is born a boy of a woman, a sign to God that his mother's virginity is not harmed, either by conception or by bearing. Recognize the form of a slave enwrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, but acknowledge that it was the Lord's form that was announced by angels, proclaimed by the elements, adored by the wise men. Understand of his humanity that he did not avoid the marriage feast. Confess it divine, that he turned water into wine. Let your own feelings explain to you why he shed tears over a dead friend. Let his divine power be realized when that same friend, after moldering in the grave 4 days, is brought to life and raised only by the command of his voice, out of nothing, by the mere power of his will, of Christ's will. To make clay with spittle and earth was the work of the body, but to anoint therein and enlighten the eyes of the blind is an undoubted mark of that power which had reserved for the revelation of its glory, that which it had not allowed to the early part of his natural life. He's saying he's now showing you his divinity by the public miracles he's doing to the people out there, by his own power that comes from within him. It is truly human to relieve bodily fatigue with rest and sleep, but it is truly divine to quell the violence of raging storms by a rebuking command. When he was on the rough sea, he was sleeping, and they thought, what are you sleeping for? Wake up, don't worry about it, and he calms it. He was sleeping in his human nature, but wide awake in his divinity. To set food before the hungry denotes human kindness and a charitable spirit. But with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to satisfy 5,000 men, besides women and children, who would dare deny that to be the work of deity? A deity which, by the cooperation of the functions of true flesh, showed not only itself in manhood, but also manhood in itself, for the old original wounds in man's nature could not be healed except by the word of God taking on himself flesh from the virgin's womb, whereby in one and the same person, flesh and the word, the divinity, coexisted. Hold fast to the statements of the creed. This belief in the Lord's incarnation, dearly beloved, through which the whole church is Christ's body, hold firm with heart unshaken and abstain from all the lies of heretics. There's the big H word that they don't use today. You're not allowed to say that today. That's not nice. You're not being charitable when you don't have a conversation with the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons. Conversation. The only time you can speak to them about religion is to refute their false religion and call them to conversion. Yes, charitably, nicely, but you got to rebuke them. You got to denounce them. You got to condemn them. They're apostates on top of being heretics. He calls them heretics here. According to your modern traditionalists and all your nominal so-called your Catholics out there, they're not real Catholics. They don't use the H words anymore. He says, hold firm with heart, unshaken, and abstain from all the lies of heretics. That means every heresy and every heretic, with no distinction. And remember that your works of mercy will only then profit you, and your strict continence only then bear fruit, when your minds are unsoiled by any defilement from wrong opinions that are heretical. Cast away the arguments of this world's wisdom, for God hates them. Pseudo-intellectualism, glorification of philosophy, the classics under the guise of mythology. What good is all that garbage? It's false. It's utterly false. It contradicts the word of God. We need none of it. He says, cast away the arguments of this world's wisdom because it's not true wisdom. It's foolishness in the eyes of a true man of God. Truly foolish. And you look at the world that they're creating. It's a foolish world. It's an evil world. It's a broken world. It's a world that doesn't work. It's a world that'll never work because it's a world that is evil. And everybody now loves that evil world. And they hate the true wisdom of God. He says, cast away the arguments of this world's wisdom, for God hates them. and none can arrive by them at the knowledge of the truth. And quite contrary, not only they cannot arrive at the truth, they will continue to remain in falsehood because they're under a curse. And keep fixed in your mind that which you say in the creed. Believe the Son of God to be co-eternal with the Father, by whom all things were made, and without whom nothing was made. Born also according to the flesh at the end of times, in the fullness of times. Believe him to have been in the body crucified, dead, raised up, and lifted above the heights of heavenly powers, set on the Father's right hand, about to come in the same flesh in which he ascended to judge the living and the dead. For this is what the apostle proclaims to all the faithful, saying, quote, if ye be risen with Christ, seek ye the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. The Catholic dogmas, the Catholic faith, the true wisdom, not the glorification of stupid philosophers, not mythology books and classics, not Star Treks and Harry Potters, not all this garbage that they're throwing at you in the Wizard of Oz, all heretical and apostate, blasphemous and idolatrous. It stinks to the high heavens. How is your mind set on heaven when your mind is set on that garbage? How could the two be compatible? They are not compatible. The world is now in a covenant with hell and with Satan. And that's who they're following. He's telling us to keep your eyes and everything above our true home in heaven. God wants heaven to be the true home of everybody. But you're never going to get there if you don't keep your eyes on heaven, which is by learning the Catholic dogmas and studying the teachings of the Catholic Church and by the holy sacraments of the Catholic Church. That the Catholic Church does not just teach you, she sanctifies you. She gives you sanctifying grace to make you eligible to enter heaven through her holy sacraments and through her prayers. That comes from nowhere else. It doesn't come from Aristotle. It doesn't come from Plato. It doesn't come from Zeus. It doesn't come from Wodan. It doesn't come from none of those false things. And that you should tell Catholic children that we got to pick up and learn about Wodan and Zeus and Plato and Aristotle to the point of glorifying those philosophers instead of the true life-giving words of Jesus Christ. The God of Israel, the true God of Israel, is the God of the Catholic Church. Even the good Jews in the Old Covenant hated philosophy. They were always going at it with the Greeks and said, your wisdom stinks. We have the true wisdom. We'll defeat you in any debate. Because the Greeks refused to submit to anything that took an act of faith. Anything that required a supernatural act of faith. Such as original sin. The fact that we all fell from grace. That death come upon us because of our own sin and we needed to be redeemed. Anything that was above their human understanding, they rejected. Even if they were to see a miracle right in front of their own eyes, like Jesus said in John 12:47. Whereas he did so many miracles before them, Jesus, they believed not in him. That's willful unbelief. I go as far as to say, all these people know the true God, they just don't like him. They hate him, they hate him, they hate him. They're running from him. They're running as fast as possible away from the true God and into the hands of the devil because they're breaking one or more of his commandments mortally, obstinately, and they're full of pride. And they haven't learned yet that all their sins is the cause of all their miseries. No pill is going to cure it. No psychologist is going to cure it. No self-help guru on TV. All these antichrists on the TV trying to tell you how to be happy and joyful is going to cure it. They're all a bunch of miserable, rotten, selfish, materialistic bastards. Filthy, down to the depths of hell. Who cannot give you everlasting life and everlasting happiness and peace. True peace. No. So what does he say? He says, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon this filthy earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For when Christ our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. How much these people in America love the material things of their life that they can't bear to be with us for 2 seconds. They want to revel in their materialism and their greed and their vanity and their pride and their luxuries.
Break one of those commandments and break them all.
That's right. That's what Jesus said. He who breaketh one commandment breaks them all. And that's all it takes. It all it takes. You could have a woman out there that's a feminist and refuses to wear dresses and dress modest and cook and clean in the kitchen. That's the cause of her damnation. The root is pride. The root is rebellion, but it manifests itself in her feminism. She can say, I agree with everything Rich is teaching, but I don't want to put a dress on and I don't want to cook and clean for my family and take care of my family. You're in damnation and you will run from the true God and you will hate him because the true God tells you, you got to do those things. And a true God tells you, you stupid feminist, that's where true joy is found and peace for the woman. Just a man being a man and doing the things God ordained men to do, a woman being a woman and doing the things God ordained a woman to do, this is where our happiness is. That's where our peace and joy is. I always said it. If a man's not a man, he can't even hope to be Catholic. He has to first act like a man, eat on the natural law, and a woman like a woman. But on that one point alone, judgment, remember you didn't want to come into the church because you didn't want to dress modest, or you didn't want to cook and clean because you were a lazy bastard, because you didn't want to take care of your family, which is feeding your family is such a great act of love. It should bring joy to you and happiness. But no, this is not true. It doesn't happen with these people. And then when that happens, they start hating the true God, because you can't have it both ways. And then they start hating the church, the Catholic Church. And they run, and they run, and they run. Like we had feminist women running out of here. And so be it, because you ain't going to stay a feminist in here very long. If you come in here as a feminist, you're going to have to make a mind that you no longer want to be a feminist. You don't stay in here more than two or three days. And you're gone. And we've kicked out many of them. I'll say it a million times. All these people saying our Brandy's kicking people out. That's how you keep a camp pure. You want to have all those people living in your living room, in your house, I'll send them over to you right away. I'll give you their names. I'll give you their phone numbers. I'll tell you where they live. You know some of them. I mentioned it in some of my sermons. Maybe you know them already, you people out there. You contact them. Why don't you invite them over and have a little party once? Really. Invite them over for Easter even and see what they're like. All right? Because you know why I say that? Because even evildoers don't love evildoers. Women are like cats when they fight one another, scratching one another's eyes out, the feminists. So the feminist invites over about 10 other feminists, and they start bickering and fighting. You know, the greedy guy's fighting with the other greedy guy. He wants to have more than the other greedy. They're miserable. You want these people, they're all yours. The people that idolize animals or whatever the serious, obstinate, sinful problem is. You certainly don't keep your eyes on heaven by allowing people like that to stay in a Catholic home or any type of your own little home is your own castle. That is true. And it reflects your heart and what's inside your heart and what you allow in your home and what you don't allow. Now, he says, use Lent for general improvement in the whole round of Christian duties, relying therefore, dearly beloved, on so great a promise. Be heavenly, not only in hope, but also in conduct. And though our minds must at all times be set on holiness of mind and body, yet now during these 40 days of fasting, bestir yourselves to yet more active works of piety. For only then will we be freed from all evils through our Lord Jesus Christ, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901. 2878 and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.